home for the NBA Finals, World Series, and college football's national championship. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. They want to be down with the kids. Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Aaron, and off we go. What a show we got for you. Jimbo's going to join us. Jimbo Fisher will be here in about 15 minutes to break down his recruiting class and talk about, you know, what a great time it is for the Aggs to get that number one recruiting class cemented. Here's the deal. I mean, it's all subjective. We're going through some previous 24/7 or, you know, rivals. Back in the 13, 14, 15 area, a lot of good players, but there's a lot of guys that were ranked really, really high. Never heard of them again. Never saw them again.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, it is. But here's what really happens, though. Here's what happens, though, is if you finish high in recruiting, guess what? You win football games. That's pretty much usually. Except
yeah.
Texas is a big. Is a big exception to that rule.
It's a glaring outlier.
It really is.
And to a lesser extent, A&M. I mean, A&M has not won. Jimbo hasn't won at a high level.
No.
His numbers are very similar to Kevin Sumlin, and yet they've had some big recruiting classes.
Yeah, pretty big. Now you got number one. And loaded with defensive
linemen. You'd rather have highly rated players than not highly
rated.
Yeah, no.
Absolutely. Now you got to do something with them.
Yeah.
And you know what? And you know, they're still young. I mean, Jimbo had five seniors on his team when he took this over.
You know, the recruiting rankings, the rankings that I like best are not the ones coming in, it's the ones going out. How many players you haven't drafted? That's what usually tells you what kind of team you had. Every once in a while, I'll see a team that has a lot of pro prospects that I'm writing up. I'm like, wow, this team should have a better record. I'm not really sure how this is happening. But when they come in, it's a little more subjective. When they're going out, I mean, it's the team's decision based on how they actually played. And A&M has had players over the years. Texas, for whatever reason, just doesn't have the same amount of players going out that they have coming in.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's not the exchange rate.
No.
It's not good for Texas. For A&M, it's been pretty good. For Alabama, it's terrific. I mean, you know, the best teams, and not a surprise, LSU had high-rated guys coming in, and they had high-rated guys going out when they won a national championship.
Right. Well, what happens with good coaches, you turn three stars into five stars. What's been happening to Texas, you turn five stars into two stars, and they're not getting drafted. They're just not developing. And, hey, listen, that's the facts of it. They've had a lot of good football players that just haven't panned out. And we'll see whether or not, you know what, they had a good recruiting class as well. But Jimbo has graciously agreed to join us this morning in just a little bit. So we will talk a lot of Aggies here today. Greg Cosell is going to join us at the bottom of the hour to talk about the NFL and that game last night. And that was a pretty good football game. But, man, you've been talking about this for a while, the analytics of fourth down, and it just bit him. I know you've got to score touchdowns against the Chiefs. And even Coach Cully was the same way. Oh, you got to score touchdowns here. Coaches are getting as opposed to the way they used to be. You want to talk about going a 180. Man, you would punt from the opponent's 39-yard line back in the past. You would kick a field goal on fourth and inches back in the past. Now, we're going for it on fourth and two. Cliff went for it fourth and two. Down 10 instead of kicking a field goal to get within one score.
I mean, you need two scores. Let me tell you. The analytics, and what happens is, you know, the hardcore analytics crowd is so defiant. It's to the point of obnoxiousness. I'm being serious here. And that's like Maury. You know, he would be a guy that would be a perfect example of, he just says, this is what the numbers say, and any of your opinion or anything that's not rooted in the math is irrelevant to us. It's a filter of bias, and that's just not accurate. I totally agree with the fourth down concepts. in many cases. They should be much more aggressive.
But what about some of the play calls last night?
I know, but I'm just saying, you can't just go for – there's nothing wrong with taking
points.
Yeah. In certain – you have to judge it each and every situation as an individual situation. You can't just let your math dictate. In Cliff Kingsbury's case, down 10, get your 3 points to cut it to a single score. It doesn't make sense to take that chance. And I don't want to hear about your math because the percentages – we'll go right to the field goal percentage of the same distance kick and find out what the percentages are. And I'll guarantee you it's a higher rate than your fourth down conversion rate is going to be league-wide from that same distance. So don't tell me about, well, that's what the analytics say, that the math say, you're human bias. No. The Chargers left points on the field, easy points on the field for my fantasy kicker in the playoffs.
Wow.
Yeah. How about that? I've got Hopkins.
You got Hopkins, and they passed and passed and passed and passed on field goals.
Passed on field goals.
How many times?
Three.
Hey, right before the half, you got to do it. Or how about, my goodness, dude, they get down to the 2-yard line, and it's second down and goal from the 2, and they pass. Run the ball again, run the ball again, run the ball again, and you're going to get in the end zone. What are you doing? I mean, Herbert's pass that was broken up by Sorensen, are you kidding me? First of all, you shouldn't be in that situation. He lost that game for him. Coaching lost that game last night. Take the point. Well, afterwards, you got to score touchdowns against the Chiefs. No, you didn't. You had them tied. If you'd have kicked one of those field goals, guess what? You would have won a football game.
These are all excuses.
All excuses.
I mean, they scored 28 in regular time, and they scored a touchdown. What you have to do is prevent it from going overtime by actually getting a point.
Yes.
By getting one more point than they had, and that would have happened with one of the 3 field goals. I'm in favor of analytics. I'm in favor of tilting things in your favor and taking past occurrences and turning them into a weapon in your favor through your data mining, basically. What I'm not in favor of is being so rigid in the way in your approach. We've got a rigidity problem throughout society where everyone acts like whatever it is, just this or it is this, and there is no in between. There is a huge gray level in all of life that people are missing out on, and it's in football right now. You've got to understand, you know, we get a little frustrated sometime in baseball with, you know, now would be the time where you might want to lay one down. Like, in certain instances, you have to look at situational baseball, situational basketball, situational football. When you're 0 for 27 for 3, or you're in the midst of it against the Golden State Warriors, situational basketball tells you that you've got to put it on the ground and get into a position to get a free throw or get an easy basket in the paint. That's what it tells you. You can't continue to do that like you're just going to keep playing red on the roulette table. You got to play the situation, and the Chargers did not play the situation at all. And there's more and more teams that are doing this now where they just say, we're playing the numbers. And they're turning everything over to the in-game analytics team, because a lot of teams now have an in-game analytics guy who tells them. But I mean, the Chargers game, that was team analytics took a little beating yesterday, because you can look at that game and say, yeah, you lost this because you passed up on points. That's why you lost that game.
Yep, that's it.
I mean, it's just, it's clear.
That's it.
It's clear and simple.
It couldn't be clearer. Rockets played last night as well, and they lost to the Knicks. So another loss. Final was 116-103. No Christian Wood again. No Jalen Green. No KPJ. And, you know, they're shorthanded right now. But they're you know, it just doesn't feel the same. Of course, you lose players like this, and it's not going to be easy. Obviously, Şengün only played 15 minutes, 0-for-3 in this one. Matthews bounced back a little bit with a 4-for-10 and 2-of-7 performance. But Eric Gordon just wasn't the same. 30 minutes, and he had 5 points. So they got to have Eric Gordon, especially with Christian Wood out. Listen, this is a different team without Christian Wood right now. It's a much different team. It's not even close. That dude is a big deal for this team.
He's showing you his value. I mean, you can argue about if he's a max value guy. I think most people would argue he's not, but the reality is in the NBA he is.
Mm-hmm.
Max value guy is just if you're the best player on a team, you're a max value guy. That's how it's determined. Now, on other teams, you're not a, you know, on other teams with good players, you're not a max value guy. So it's a weird situation that you deal with because you have a certain amount of money you can spend, and if he stays with bad teams, he's a max dollar guy. If he goes to a good team, he's not. So we'll see how he decides to play this, how the Rockets decide to play it. One thing's for sure, the last two games are very good indicators that, oh, Daniel Tice had a good game yesterday.
Yeah.
Didn't matter.
No.
Didn't matter. It's just they're a different team with Wood.
Yeah. Well, and they shot well. I mean, they shot 50% and 34%. They turned it over 17 times, which was and 29 assists. So they're still moving the basketball, but it's not the same. So
by the way, the Rockets are 10th in the league right now in assisted percentage. You know, the percentage of makes that are assisted, they're 10th in the league. Over the last 10 games, they're in the top 4. Mm-hmm. So it shows that they, even for the entire year, and of course it's leaking in more now, they are doing a good job of sharing the ball. 29 more assists yesterday. They're doing a good job of sharing the ball and keeping it moving and things like that. But, you know, it's more than just – that's a fun little thing to look at to see how they're playing from a team standpoint. But rebounds, defensively, they were bad defensively in the first quarter, and it, you know, he dug them into a little bit of a hole. Next quarter, they allowed 18, and they played better, and then they had more, more issues in the second half defensively. So I think that's been another issue is they have not been as good defensively lately, which has been one of the problems.
But, yeah.
Well, the win streak was fun. That was cool, at least.
Yeah, the win streak was nice.
The era of good feelings was nice.
Yeah, yeah. That was very nice. It was nice to have a little reprieve from really crappy basketball.
A little respite from a 15-game losing streak.
So let's take a break, and when we come back, Jimbo Fisher's going to join us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And I got to tell you right now about my peeps over at HRP. HRP.net is the place to go if you're looking for the best way to get that payroll done. People, don't do it yourself. And if you've got a payroll company already and you're not completely satisfied, well, then you should go with ours because you will be completely satisfied. You will love what they do for you, not only with the payroll, how easy it is. Matter of fact, we just changed how we're doing our personal time off. And the website is so – I even did it. It's so easy to request time off. It calculates your time off where you don't have to worry about a thing. It's such a – the technology that they're using over at HRP is second to none. So this is easy. This is a great way to go about this. They're calculating. You can see where you are with your people, with your time off, where you got man hours, where you don't have man hours. It's so good. And listen, if you're looking for – A company that's also going to take care of all your tax problems and everything, the Affordable Care Act and everything else. They're experts. They're experts at all of this stuff. So if you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company, go with ours. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5. Found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. You're home for the Aggies, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, and the coach has graciously agreed to join us this morning to talk about the haul that he had. Coach, congratulations on your national championship. Way to go.
Yeah. Oh, bang. I mean, it was getting players is the key component to this game, and our staff did a tremendous job. And I think our players, they recruited each other. They knew other, it took other great, it very, happens a lot. You know, other players know each other. They all know each other from the circuit, as I say, the recruiting circuit, the all-star games or the camps. And so they know it takes a lot of great players to win a championship, and they help recruit each other. And our present players on the team did a really good job. So a lot of pieces in that puzzle.
Coach, one thing I've learned over the years of doing draft stuff is that the guys who end up having the most impact on the team are the guys who have not only the football character, but the willingness to be coached. And I think that's getting to be harder and harder to find. How hard is that for you in a recruiting process to kind of get a read on the player and figure out who's going to be coachable the way you like to coach him and who might it might be difficult to get the most out of them.
That's it. We're trying to ask as many questions as you possibly can. Trying, you know, guys have it now. Do they like all the things a lot of guys like to play football. Is it talent, or do they like all the things? Are they at lifting every day? Are they on time? They go to school every day? Just watch their personal habits. And, you know, it's hard because we still aren't with them every day. You got to take everybody's word, which you do at the same time. But you look at results, you look at habitat. And the thing now, you know, a lot of these guys are around so much because a lot of them are close. Travel now is easy. So you're, the more you're around people, the more you feel them. And I think that's what I said. I tell our staff, listen, there's a lot of great players. How many guys want to be great? And just because you have great talent doesn't make you want to be great. You have those habits and the things you got to do and what kind of people are there. So that's something we put a huge emphasis on once we realize the talent level there.
Well, and Coach, I've talked to a lot of coaches about this, and the difference between the SEC and everybody else is basically the defensive line. And boy, oh boy, what a job you did. That was it had to be a concerted effort, and you got to be pretty happy with your haul on that defensive line.
We do. The front guys make a difference, and in the dirt on the offense and defensive line. You can't not be physical on the offensive line. I mean, you have to be able to have that because that's the only thing that allows your skill level to do. And you even saw times this year, as skilled as Alabama has been with the receivers at certain games, they got out muscled up running and cost themselves, you know, a lot of plays. You see, you can have all the skill guys you want, but on the offensive line, the defensive line, being able to stop running, being able to play the box, the hair short if you have to, create double teams up front, affect the quarterback, sack the quarterback. All those things are vital, and you have to have those guys. You have to have multiples of those guys. Where you got it because guys have injuries. You got to rotate guys. This is a long season.
Coach, who's your recruiting coordinator in Sweden? How'd you get this guy here?
Well, now there was a group of guys. Believe it or not, now I've had I had a first team All American when I was at Florida State. Guy named Bjorn Warner, one of the best players I ever coached. Guy was a first round draft pick. And then we guys like it all the time. So there was a group of guys with a group of people traveling all the different colleges. They were going. They went to about 25 or 30 different colleges. They came over and flew over, and a whole bunch of them from different countries and different places. And they went around to colleges and were working out at the camp. And we had heard on a camp some guys that said, this guy's really good. He got to our camp, and he was definitely stood out. His skill level, his size, his speed, athletics, I mean, everything. It was amazing, and we're able to get him.
Yeah, that's Theodore Malin Ostrom. He's 6'6", 245, tight end. We'll be looking for that.
I'm telling you what now, the NFL's got something called Pathway to the Pros, where they're unearthing different players, and more, my dad went and worked those FBU camps, Coach. They had a lot of NFL coaches that went overseas and started working. He came back and told me, he's like, I'm telling you, there's players coming from Austria and Germany, and he said, it's going to look a lot different in 10 to 20 years in college football and the NFL.
No doubt, just like it has in basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, look at basketball and pro basketball. I mean, there's athletes everywhere, and you know, sports are huge here, and I think they're seeing those opportunities, and, more power to it.
Well, damn near every punter I look at now is from Australia, or no, where are they from?
They're from
Aussie Rules Football. They've got camps over there teaching guys that, hey, you can get a – that's why a lot of them are in their mid-20s. Like, you can get a scholarship for college in the U.S. if you take some of your skills and become a punter.
Yeah, but that's why Nick is from, for us.
Mm-hmm. Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I loved your answer to Paul Feinbaum about NIL, Coach, and it's been happening forever. But how has it changed? And you can't entice a kid with NIL, but they can see what's going on at every university. And it's plain out there to see that the landscape has changed. Guys are going to get paid now, and you got to step up if you're going to be the boosters, or if you're going to be that, you know, if you're going to help your team get players.
Well, the schools can't control it. They can't do it, and they don't demand it. But what you can do, like every contract the kid gets, he has to turn into compliance, at least you do in the state of Texas, and the results of what they have to say, so-and-so did this last year, and that's what you're allowed to say. Now, that has nothing to do with it. I mean, if our boosters or our people or whatever, it's not guys, it's not a – not a trade effort or anything like that, but you know, it's an amazing thing. It's funny that all got legs, but I've said that 20 times since I've been here. You know, I mean, it's some people play it straight, some don't. We never did. We never did cheat, never did have cheating, and I've been proud to say that. And but you know, now it's even the field, and some of those guys are the ones crying now.
Yeah, they're not as organized as they should be.
The guys that had the secret donation, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Jimbo Fisher with us. Now, how about the coach, what's left for the transfer portal? How are you handling that with the transfer portal? And because you got a big, big high school class. A lot of guys are just going transfer portal and few high school players. You're doing it different.
Right. I still think your foundation's got to be, you know, who you bring in. And like when these guys here, I think, are difference makers. Those guys you don't turn down. And I think that goes year by year, what you need, when you need it, how you need it, what happens with it, you know, the whole thing. I think year by year, the transfer portal will be bigger or smaller based off your needs and by the high school crop that's out there. Not that there may not be guys, but how quick are these guys ready to make an impact at the college level? I think that's where you got to look at. It's like going out and getting a free agent in pro football. I mean, do I need one or I'd rather draft one? Do I have time to develop this guy, or can this guy really believe is a rookie make an impact, or do I have to go get somebody that, you know, we think is more seasoned and ready? And I think it's the same philosophy.
You look at transfer portal as the new JUCO?
I'm sorry?
You look at transfer portal as the new JUCO?
I do to a point, but I think it can even be better because, I mean, usually guys that have grades are doing well in school. But a lot of your guys in transfer portal, guys are not playing somewhere else. But that can be because of the stack deck and why it is. But it's like the same process, yes.
Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, your home for Aggie football. Well, Coach, and you talk about it, a lot of these, I'm looking at a lot of stars on this list. There's a lot of guys that are going to be on the football. You're going to be how dangerous is it as a head coach when you know you're going to have a lot of youth on the football field next year?
Well, I mean, there's still a lot of really good players on this team. I mean, and where they are, who's ready to play, and the rotations in which you put them in. But I think that's really been the way things have been because the three and out have kind of forced it to be that way. As soon as a guy really starts to become the elite player he can be, most guys are leaving. I mean, you know, a lot of those second to fourth round picks who really could be first round or second round picks and really be unbelievable college football players are all leaving. So I think you're constantly playing youth. So this year we start two freshmen up front, two freshmen at corner, all the other guys, ton of the other guys played. We're in the rotation everywhere you went. I mean, that's just, to me, that's the new norm.
I want to ask you about your concept of your roster and where you are and what you want out of wide receiver. Because, you know, the one thing that when I look at the team, I keep saying, boy, if A&M had a wide receiver one, like a true number one, or at least more true number twos, it might be something that Jimbo could do a little bit more with. Where are you at wide receiver right now? No doubt. What's your thoughts?
That's why I think the three guys we signed, I mean, I think Evan Stewart, I think Chris Marshall, I think Noah, I think all them guys, I think those guys are really talented guys. I think some of them guys should be true number one. The other guys will be there, I think, you know, and always in the portal, can you find it? And you're constantly trying to find it and develop it. And we thought we've had some guys that are trying to evolve to that point right now. They've got to get there because you got to have those number ones to be elite and throwing the football. And that's one of the things. Now, we're running the football as well we have, and I've always done that. But if you go back in my background, when I was at LSU, we had Blitnikoff winners and 4,000-yard passes at Florida State. I've always had been we really threw the football a lot.
Right.
I mean, and we still are, but we still got to get, you know, we still got to develop that down the field part of it and to get the chunks over the top and keep that part of it going.
Jimbo Fisher here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Tell us about, we've known for a while that Walter Nolan was coming. You haven't been able to say anything. Tell us about Walter, why he came, how you got him here all the way from Tennessee.
Well, I mean, I think guys, we had 9 states represented. I think that's normal. I mean, I think that's one of the things that I think is a little bit different at A&M. It's always been a very regional recruiting base, I think. And we have to get the guys in Texas, which we got a ton out, I think 16 or 17, and then they'll get the guys elsewhere. And Walter's a big guy. He loves what we're doing. He likes how we play, 2-4 down, the physicality in which we play with. I mean, he saw the guys up front, the way we play, the defense we play. Coach Elijah did a tremendous job with him, building a relationship with him. Liked that whole part of it. We're here doing some magical games here a couple times, doing games. There's a visit once, I think, with Alabama game, and then another couple other games that came, and just the atmosphere, the environment, there's nothing like it. Nowhere I see like it. And then they look at opportunities after ball with the Aggie Network. The education you get here, the quality of it, and I mean, it all went, and he just felt very, very, very comfortable here. He really did. Him, his family, and just a great young man.
And you got a guy from here, from Bridgeland, Connor Wegman, coming into Haynes King. We understand is practicing, but you're going to start Blake Bost in the bowl game, Coach. And we found out that Zach is leaving as well, transfer portal. Had to be a little dangerous for you, knowing that Blake Bost was going to was a snap away from going in there. So you got a little bit of a depth now at the quarterback position with Connor coming in and Haynes coming back.
We do. I think Connor, he was my guy from the get-go. I think he's the best one out there. The guy can run, he can play, he can throw, he's got chips. More important, not only is just running and throwing, which is phenomenal, the way he raises the level of his teammates, his competitiveness, his instincts, his intelligence. I mean, everything about him is top-notch on top of everything and what he does. And on top of that, I mean, he's given up baseball this year in high school, which would probably be at least be a second or third round draft pick. And he's going to play baseball here and do both. But, I mean, this guy is a very, very gifted young man, and he wins at everything he does, and he wins no matter what group of players he's got with him.
Man, that's what a group, Coach. This is really exciting to see this kind of thing here at Texas A&M. Great job. I know the work that you guys put into it. You got the bowl game coming up. And then a little bit of rest, I would imagine, for all this coaching staff after a great, great season here, not only on the field, but recruiting as well. So congratulations, Coach, on the big haul. And everybody's talking about it. Congratulations, and good luck against Wake.
Thank you. We need to play well, and like I say, we're practicing right now.
Yeah.
Take care.
Good. Go get them. Coach Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5. And 92.5. Yeah, Haynes King is practicing, but Blake, he named Bose the quarterback.
And you know, the great thing with Haynes King, if you do the math on it, he can play, still redshirt.
Yeah.
Doesn't get to four games, so he's fine. You know, he's not more than four games, so he's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's no reason not to play him. So, him.
Yeah, he said he's still not ready to play in this bowl game, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that's why Bose is starting. He might get in there.
Yeah, I mean, you look at how quickly I came back from the ankle.
No one is looking at that. No one is looking at how quickly
the shoulder took time, but when you look at how quickly I was able to come back from the ankle.
You're still not back.
There's
no. You still got your scooter out at home.
Well, that's because I put the dog on and give him rides, but it's different than me having to use it.
It's way different. Yes, so it's way different.
I think King can play.
There's athleticism involved with
Haynes King. My guess is King can play.
Right.
Yeah, his recovery and my recovery should be similar. He wouldn't be out for 6 months
because he was throwing a Frisbee.
My physical therapist worked with A&M, worked on someone's staff, so it's not a lot of reason to believe that he shouldn't be playing.
Yeah.
And if he's not, I question how tough he is.
Well.
Because I'd be back.
You can't. We're worried when you walk to the door in here that you hit your head on this all the time.
Well, that thing, we got this big orb of a light for Twitch. And that thing is ill positioned, so I hit myself on that just because that doesn't count. Like Haynes King would hit himself on that too, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, no.
Would Hudson Card? I don't know.
No, you know what Haynes King would be able to do? Avoid it.
More passing yards next year
because it's stationary. It's not moving.
All right, Haynes King versus Hudson Card. I'm gonna go Haynes King minus 2,800 yards.
What? Minus 2,800 against
Hudson Card.
Are you sure that? Are you sure Wegman isn't going to beat him up?
Are you sure that Hudson Card doesn't beat out Quinn Ewers?
Oh, I'm pretty sure he's not going to.
Hudson Card was like a guy they love. Is he gone now?
Sark needs Ewers badly.
All right,
we got to take a break because Greg Cosell is joining us on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now, we had John Clay Wolf on yesterday, and I don't think we even mentioned that his company is GiveMeTheVin.com. At the very end, hey, so go to GiveMeTheVin.com. That's it. That is it. John Clay Wolf, he don't care. He wants to talk about stuff he wants to talk about, and he don't care about his business. And that's crazy. And demand is crazy. Actually, he's crazy. There is no question about that. He is nuts. And if you're looking to sell your car, sell it to a nut job like John Clay Wolf, because he's going to give you more than it's worth. It's unbelievable. He gave me so much more for Frankie's car than that thing was worth. What a pile of junk he bought. But, hey, it's on you. It's on you, John Clay Wolf. You said you'd pay me that, and you paid me that. Well, okay, so I got over on him. You can get over on them, too. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVin.com. You can't if you don't go to the website and try to sell them your car. GiveMeTheVin.com. You can literally, in seconds, find out what your vehicle is worth. And you can take that to CarMax and say, I'm going to get this. You know what CarMax can say? We can't match that because they always pay more at GiveMeTheVin.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Time to talk some NFL with NFL Film Zone Greg Cosell on the bench. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 732 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, as he always does. We got Greg Cosell, senior producer for NFL Films and NFL analyst and NFL expert with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Greg, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, John. How are you?
Doing great, man. How about that football game last night? Greg, we've been talking about it. Analytics. Kick a field goal. Win a football game.
Well, you're obviously, John, you just don't get it. I mean, that's, you know,
no, he doesn't know, Greg. If he goes on Twitter, he'll figure it out.
So you just don't get it, John, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, if Twitter, you know, if John goes on Twitter, they'll tell. They'll figure it out. They'll figure it out for
him. They'll figure it out for
him. Yeah. Greg. You know, you just don't get it. I mean, come on. You know, you just got to do what everything's a mathematical equation. You know, process doesn't matter. Game flow doesn't matter. Everything's a mathematical equation.
That's all it is.
Okay. What happened 8 years ago dictates what you should be doing now.
1-1-0-0-1-0-1-0. That's it. You just need to learn to code. And once you know that, you'll be able to figure out an algorithm
Greg,
that tells you what
somewhat,
to do.
But honestly, we've gone from the most conservative coaching. But, you know, back in the day, you know, you and I are a little bit older. We've been watching football for all you've been watching, you know, for a really long time. And, you know, I mean, how conservative coaches were to this last night. That was crazy what Staley was doing.
Yeah, and again, you know, look, I was obviously being sarcastic, but I've had a lot of conversations with people in the business, you know, and even with people who do analytics as their business. And, you know, I think the best way that I've learned in having conversations with a lot of different people, okay, and I've tried to learn, okay, is that analytics, first of all, you have to define what that means, but let's assume there is some kind of general sense of what it is, that it's a piece of the puzzle, that it should not drive everything that you do. It's a piece, and it's how you go about using it. Look, you can go back to Paul Brown. Every coach wants more information, not less information, but it's how you apply that information. So simply to say that, you know, I had a great conversation with a GM this summer, and they brought in, and it's a team that's been very good for a number of years with a really good coach, okay? And they brought in all these analytics people, and when all was said and done, the head coach came to the conclusion that in game, I'm not talking about all the other things, okay? I'm sure there's you know, other parts. Of course there are. But in game, that analytics themselves don't necessarily help you. Because think of it this way. So if you know that if it's 4th and 2 from a certain spot on the field, and the analytics, because what the analytics tell you there is, over the last 10 years when it's 4th and 2 on that spot of the field, 82% of the time when teams went for it, they got it. Well, how does that help you right then?
Mm-hmm. Right. And Greg, everything's static when you know, I look at it a lot like counting cards, right? So if everything is equal and everything is a known quantity and everything is static, that's fine and good. The fact is, in football, and this is why football is more less so than basketball and baseball, is situationally an analytic sport. Not all baseball's an all day long analytic sport. Not
right.
Football, because there's too many variables in terms of matchups, in terms of situation, in terms of play calling, where humans will have an input on how the output actually occurs.
And the other thing too is there's too many variables in terms of people, you know, because, and again, just to give obvious examples, I mean, it's one thing to say, let's go for it on 4th down. It's another thing, let's say you're playing with 2 backup offensive linemen. So does that change what the stats mean? Because analytics at their core are based on results. Decisions in the NFL have to be made on process. And those two things often can conflict.
Greg Cosell with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Greg, let's move on to the games this week, and we can talk about some stuff last week as well. But I'm intrigued, Jonathan Taylor versus the Patriots' run defense. What happens with this game?
Yeah, this is fascinating to me because history suggests that Bill Belichick is not going to allow Jonathan Taylor to dictate the pace and tempo of the game. He may have a long run because he's really good, but history would suggest that he's not going to control the game consistently rushing 5, 6, 7 yards. So to me, we always talk about third down guys as being the money down, the possession down. I'm really fascinated by how the Colts approach first down. Yes, they'll run the ball some on first down. Of course they will. But I think that they're really going to have to find a balance. And again, here there's no right or wrong answer, and it's probably more of a feel thing based on film study than anything else. But I think they're going to have to find a balance between the run game and the pass game on first down, and then more importantly, what kind of throws on first down. Because the Patriots have a really good secondary, arguably the best in the league the way they're playing right now. So I think first down is absolutely going to be critical in this game.
Yeah, kind of the work backward concept of throwing early and maybe running and trying to get to yourself, get to a two-way situation on run pass. You know, what about the idea of running out of more 11 personnel? I wonder, I don't know how often the Colts do that. I could look it up.
Oh, they do it more than you might think with Taylor. Yeah, he has a good percentage of his runs have come out of 11 personnel.
You know, I was talking to Ballard about this. This is something that I thought about when Taylor was coming out and I was doing evaluations. Probably nobody – remember, he came from Wisconsin where they haven't had quarterback play for, I don't know, since Russell Wilson. And he saw more loaded fronts than probably any back in college football that year or in many years. They always saw 7 to 8 man boxes all the time. It was a heavy, heavy box that he had to read and digest. I don't think that bothers him. I don't think it concerns him to see a heavy box.
No, and look, Lance, you know, people say 8 in the box, you can't run. Of course you can run. It's how you run and how you design your blocking schemes.
Right.
Of course, all good running teams run against 8 in the box because that's how defenses play. But yeah, no, he did that at Wisconsin. They had a fallback. I mean, look, the Big Ten is the lone holdover in college football. They still have a lot of teams that play 1990s football. So he ran out of, base sets, base personnel, with a fullback. But, you know, he's obviously the foundation of what they do, the starting point offensively. But I don't believe that this is going to be a 25 for 150 game for Taylor. Like I said, he can break one because he's good, but I just don't believe Belichick is going to allow him to control the game.
Well, and isn't that what good coaches, that's it. That's what good coaches do. Like last night, Kelce and Hill, how they get? They got 339 of the 410 yards.
Yeah.
Nobody else. I mean, isn't there some way to slow down the best players on the other team?
Well, I guess you pick your poison because you have to look at the. I know the numbers are bad, but I actually ran through this morning. I just ran through quickly Mahomes 8+ yard completions because I just wanted to see what they were, and so I didn't see every one of Mahomes' dropbacks, but I ran through the 8+ yard completions, and some were second reaction plays. They started the game playing very efficiently, where they got the ball out of Mahomes' hands quickly. He took what the defense gave him. They anticipated a lot of zone. Hill had a ton of catches early that were quick throws where he was able then to add 5, 6, 7 yards simply because he's so fast. Then Hill had a big play that was a second reaction play by Mahomes. Kelce had a couple of those as well. So, it's to me, you always have to look at the individual plays. But I know what you're saying. It looks bad on a sheet of paper, but you have to see the plays and how the game plays out.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the difference between me and Greg Cosell. He was looking at 8+ throws by Pat Mahomes. I was playing Angry Birds this morning. So there's a big
Angry Birds.
Yeah.
Greg, we brought your name up to Jeff Van Gundy on the radio on Wednesday. He said he'd love to meet you and talk a little ball.
Oh, I'd love that. So let's make that happen.
I'll hook it up. I'll make sure it happens.
Well, he's up there a lot. Yeah. He's doing games up there.
Well, Greg's up there. I love listening to him. I mean, he's obviously super smart. I grew up playing basketball. I played in high school and college, so it's not that I was a star or anything, but I did get phone calls from coaches every once in a while, which was kind of nice back then. Back then it was like phone calls, there wasn't an internet, I just made it past the point where there was like indoor plumbing, back then. So, I was recruited a little bit, not at a high level, but a little bit,
That'll be fun. Yeah, he's up in, up that part of the world a lot,
Doing
games up
there. Greg, NFL Films is in the New Jersey Philadelphia border.
How far away? I'm 20 minutes from where the Sixers play.
Yeah, how far away?
20 minutes.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, it's not. No.
It's not bad at
and
all.
And it's an easy ride. It's not like New York City, tough in and out. It's really easy for me to get to.
It's pretty. By the way, I've been in NFL Films a couple of times. It's pretty out there. It's a.
Oh yeah.
It's not a bad trip. It's kind of out of the way of things, and yeah.
Oh, it's nice here. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
nice out there. I want to get back out there sometime, Greg. Right.
Well, you got to. You got to, Lance, for sure.
We should do a show there one time, John.
We ought to at NFL Films.
How good would that be?
Yeah, hopefully the world doesn't go to hell in these next 2 months, and then, but we'll see what happens.
It's a coin flip.
It already is.
I know.
Hey, we'll talk about that on the other side. We got a lot to talk about. Greg Cosell's with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, but we are 1 week away right now from the Klein's Christmas party, and Mark Klein is joining us right now here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Marky Mark, you ready for the party yet?
7 days away, John. Excited. Man, it's been so busy, and so many ESPN listeners been coming in. There was a guy named Milo on a mobile.
Yeah. Yo, Kirby? Yeah.
He came in yesterday. We're doing a buckle for him.
Oh,
I mean, we're taking
what if his wife's
old
listening?
Gold and making jewelry for him. That's what we do.
Yeah. Watch out. So his wife might be listening there, Mark. Watch it. Watch it.
No, I think it was for him.
Oh, he's buying himself? Well, I can see that. Nobody's going to buy Kirby a Christmas present.
Doubling down for Christmas on himself.
Good for him.
So anyways, anything you want in jewelry, whether it's diamond pendants, diamond earrings, diamond bracelets, what's been popular is diamond earrings. And we've got tons and tons of diamond earrings. And they start anywhere from $300 on up. So anything in jewelry that you want. If you have old gold that you want something made, you can bring it in and use it and have her give her something that she can wear. So anything you want, diamond bracelets, diamond pendants, diamond earrings, whatever you want, we can make it. We make everything right there in the store, which is very different than every other store because we manufacture our own jewelry. So the price is going to be lower than anywhere else in the city. If you want loose diamonds, diamond rings, anything in jewelry, you can give us a call, and we're going to quote you our price over the phone.
We'll
even text you. Text us a picture. We text you a price back. And if it's not the best, don't get it from us.
To this day, the best deal I've ever gotten was engagement ring for my wife almost 20 years ago.
That's awesome.
Clients,
all right,
without question.
Get there now or call him now, and you'll be able to pick it up at the Christmas party next Friday. 832-316-1388 or 5868 Westheimer Road, or you can go online at kleinsjewelry.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
Hey, guys, time to talk about the red tag sale going on at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. We'll just call it Gulf Coast Chevy for now because it's the Chevy red tag sale. All of the vehicles that have red tags on them, select 2021, 2022 models, are going to have $500 $500 bonus cash off of their already low prices. So whatever the price is, whatever the special dealer incentives that are available and purchase allowances, on top of that comes another $500 off of the price. And so that's a huge advantage for you. You can take advantage by going to LanceZCars.com. Chevy, find new roads. Don't forget, do all your shopping for yourself. Treat yourself to a brand new Christmas present, a brand new car, Chevy. When you go to LanceZCars.com, that's Gulf Coast Chevy in Angleton. Chevy, find new roads.
Time to talk some NFL with NFL Film's own Greg Cosell on the bench from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 7:48 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Greg Cosell with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And when you broke down Pat Mahomes this morning, you were looking at you looked at 8+. Well, he still had some issues, doesn't he, Greg? He just doesn't seem like the same guy.
I think they're aware of that. And if you think how they started the game last night, they anticipated they'd get a lot of zone, which they did from the Chargers. And notice what they did. It was a lot of quick game throws, get the ball out, get them into a rhythm, the screen game, basic stuff, relatively easy throws. I think they know that they want to get him playing that way now. He did make second reaction plays, and he is special doing that, as we know. And he has the ability to do something you would never teach anyone, but is one of the things that makes him special, and that's he has the ability to drop his eyes when he moves, which you would never teach a quarterback, but then lift them back up and refocus at the intermediate and deeper levels. That's just one of the things that makes him special. But, of course, you would never teach a quarterback to drop his eyes and look at the rush or look at where he's trying to run. But he just has the ability to do that. But, you know, the last two games, he's made a few second reaction plays, and we sort of expect him to do that, but you still can't count on those every week.
You see what I just did, John? You want to see the notes in my – can you see what that is? What do you think that is that I just wrote down?
Ball judgment, CB, shock and shed, scrape and chase, linebacker.
What's that at the bottom I just wrote?
Well, full package runner, running back, active on the
perimeter. These are all draft terms. Greg just gave me second reaction plays.
Yeah.
So now, don't worry, that's showing up in the draft terms. You just gave me a new draft term, second reaction plays, which we all know what that means. It's just a great way of saying, you know, it's a great way of saying a guy who can, you know, a guy who can improv. Second reaction, because the game is played. It's so funny. Greg, I talked to Aaron Taylor about this. I feel like a blocking scheme, a blocker, there's three phases to every block. There's an entry point, you know, can you get in position early to take a lead? There's a sustained phase, and there's a finish phase, right? There's three phases. There's three phases in pass. I think football is a three-phase sport for most positions, but at quarterback, it's kind of more nebulous. And that second reaction means once it goes off of the game plan and you get to second reaction, that's something you can't game. You know what? Bill Belichick can do everything he wants. Nick Saban can do everything he wants. But the guys who hurt those defenses are second reaction quarterbacks.
Now, I remember speaking with Dean Pease a couple of years ago, and he said that the quarterbacks that have that ability, you end up almost having to play two defenses. And he said the first defense is for the first 2 seconds of the play, and then the second defense is for what happens after. And obviously, when you start getting into the after phase, there's a lot less discipline involved just because you don't know exactly how that second reaction part's going to play out.
Greg Cosell with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A sneaky good game, Cincinnati at Denver. I just don't get Cincinnati. They look great, Greg, and then one of the reasons is because Joe Burrow's getting sacked as much as he is. 41 sacks, leading the league. He doesn't have time to throw the football. What can they do to get by him some more time to make plays down the field?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because I thought he played exceptionally well this past week. And Burrow is an interesting mix of playing with timing and rhythm, but also waiting for things to develop. And I think as he plays more, he will channel that because he's got a very aggressive mentality. And because of the year he had at LSU, it feels like he's played for 10 years, but he's only a second-year pro, and he missed some of his first year. So I think that you're dealing with a guy that is really aggressive in his mentality. I personally like that. I'd rather my quarterback be that guy than a guy who's going to just immediately throw checkdowns. But I think that needs to be channeled to some degree. So some of the sacks are on him, John, and that he'll learn. But he will throw the ball. I mean, he throws go routes even when the corners are in off coverage. And you don't necessarily teach that, but he has great confidence both in himself and his receivers. So they're a fun offense to watch because they're skill position players with Chase, Higgins, and Boyd, and Mixon is a really good player. I've always felt like I'd want to see them use Mixon more in the pass game because I'm sure, Lance, you remember when he was at Oklahoma, he was a really, really good receiver who they split out a lot. And they don't really do that in Cincinnati.
No, they don't. Wait, I want to get to young quarterbacks for a second because we have the privilege of talking to a guy who watches more tape on these quarterbacks and with a keen eye for quarterback talent. Where do you think, in terms of the draft class of Tua, Herbert, and Burrow, and who am I missing? Was there another one in the first round there? I feel like I'm missing somebody. I know Hurts was second round, but I think those
you probably are, and I can't remember
three first rounders, right, but I can't think of another first. Where would you put them in terms of their development year two?
So I think Burrow is just, I won't repeat what I just said, but I like Burrow a lot. I think his arm is a little stronger this year as well. I think he's on his way to being a really good player, the kind of player that you think you can, in a sense, build around, that he's the guy. Tua, I think, is much more of like a short to intermediate dart thrower. I think Tua needs the offense to work for him. I think he's very accurate. I think he's got really quick feet on his setup, his drop, his delivery. He's very compact. The ball comes out quick. He's not a drive thrower. He's not, to me, a sit in the pocket and drive the ball down the field kind of thrower. He's a short to intermediate dart thrower. And I think if you can scheme him effectively, he can be very efficient. And he's been very efficient. And I think that's his game. Herbert is obviously just off the charts talented. I mean, there's a few quarterbacks in this league that have really high level physical gifted traits. Herbert's one, Josh Allen is one. You'd put Mahomes in that category, but Mahomes is a smaller man. See, Herbert and Allen are 6'5", 6'6", and size is a trait. I'll put Aaron Rodgers aside for now, but Aaron Rodgers is just ridiculous. But Herbert is just one of those guys that every trait is present. And I know people have been on Joe Lombardi, why don't they let him push it down the field? But they've developed a quarterback that has a really refined sense of timing and rhythm at a young age. Their offensive line, as you know, Lance, has been a bit of an issue this year, particularly on the right side. So I think they're playing to that. They don't want to make Herbert into a quarterback that's under constant duress. So I think they put together an offense that has a real strong sense of timing and rhythm to it, and then they'll build off that as time goes on. But Herbert's clearly the most physically gifted of the group.
Let's talk about the older quarterbacks. And if you had a vote right now, MVP, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady?
Well, I don't do that kind of stuff, John, but I mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I watched him this week against Chicago, and, you know, obviously I've seen him for a lot of years, and he sort of sometimes gets lost because we always want to talk about the young quarterbacks. But he is such a good thrower of the football. I mean, I've talked to people who think he's the best thrower of the football that's ever played the game. He's really, it's fascinating how well this guy throws the football. And I know from speaking to coaches who've coached him that his ability to see things is just remarkable. I remember speaking to a quarterback coach who was there, and Rodgers came off the field and they were going over the play on the sideline, and Rodgers was telling the coach what 7 different players were doing, and the coach was thinking, there's no way he knows that. It's not possible. And then they get to the film room the next day, and he was right on all 7 of the defensive players. He just sees things. He's super smart. Brady is obviously different. Brady is repetitive mechanics and brilliant before the snap. So Brady knows pretty much on every play where he's going with the ball before the ball is snapped, and he throws it the same way every time. For those who believe that you have to run around to play quarterback now, you need an answer for Tom Brady, because Tom Brady is not that guy. He drops back. He has the most dropbacks this year in the league and the fewest times he's been hit, because he knows where to go. He throws it the same way every time, and his arm is way better than he's always been given credit for.
He's amazing. He's amazing.
When you look at Aaron Rodgers, it's not just the processing, the quick processing. He has elite processing plus elite release quickness
and
arm talent. That's a deadly combination.
With a flick of the wrist, he's throwing a ball just inches above where a defender can reach it too.
You're right. Ball placement. I mean, you know, that's often overlooked. I don't overlook it. I just hadn't said it. But precise ball location is so critical for a quarterback. I mean, ultimately, if you reduce quarterbacking to its simplest terms, you'd say it's going to the right receiver at the right time with the right kind of throw with precise ball placement, if you really just reduced it to the simplest of terms.
That is Greg Cosell with us every week. Now, next week, Thursday, we got our Christmas party on Friday. Greg, so you're going to join us on Thursday next week?
Yes, I'm going to, guys. I wouldn't miss you guys for anything. And make sure you get Mr. Van Gundy there to
We're going to figure that out.
We'll get that done. Absolutely. When he goes up there to the New Jersey or Philadelphia area, we'll make sure that you guys can hopefully you guys can hook up, maybe have lunch or something that day.
That'd be awesome. I really appreciate that.
All right. Greg Cosell, senior producer, NFL Films, every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Greg, thanks again. That is Greg Cosell. And listen, it's not the kind of thing that Greg Cosell does, but Greg Cosell gives you insight into who to bet and who not to bet on. He does.
I'm glad he's off the line. John, he would have.
He says before, I don't do that. That's not the kind of thing I do. But the information that he brings on a weekly basis can clue you in as to exactly what you do. You've got prop bets. Now, I don't know what you think, but I kind of think maybe Belichick can shut down Jonathan Taylor this week. Maybe you go under on yards gained by Jonathan Taylor this week. I don't know. Maybe that's a way you might want to go. Let's see. Let's see that prop bet. Let's take a look, because you know that's what Bill Belichick does, and that's what Greg Cosell was just breaking out. And you know where you do it? You do it at MyBookie. MyBookie.ag, promo code bet975. MyBookie.ag, promo code bet975. The website is unbelievable. Live in-game betting, but all the props that you can possibly have, the number of bets that you can make, it's stupid. It's stupid how good it is. So if you're looking for a great place to play, win, and get paid, and by the way, if you refer a friend, you get $250 right now at MyBookie.ag, promo code bet975.
ESPN 97.5.